How are you, man?
Good, good.
It's awesome to finally catch up with you again.
No problem, man. I like your posters in the back there.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks.
Gotta have, right? Gotta have. Like, Gloria gave me like a little bit of my wall in my room. Like, you can have some shit on your wall.
Yeah.
So I put all my headphones. I collect headphones, so I got about 40 right now.
40 pairs of headphones.
Yeah, yeah. She went to church one day. And I had all of them in a suitcase, you know, I've been collecting them on tour. And she went to church and I had a bunch of nails and hammers and I hammered all of them on the wall. She came back. She's like, the wall looks like a guitar center.
So what are your favorites? No,
but it looks cool.
when it comes to headphones.
You know, I started this collection out of the blue, like just wanted to collect something off the wall, different. And I thought headphones, that sounds cool. That's like nobody that I know even collects them. So my collection now is pretty good. I have the Motorhead one. I really treasure that. My friend gave me that in Europe. So it's an official Motorhead called Motorhead Phones. There's one from, it's called Blue Headphone. They have a motor inside, so they're very loud. That's one of my favorites. Like they're kind of expensive. They're around $500.
Yeah.
The one I spend the most money, it's called Grado. They're made in Brooklyn, and I paid $2,000 for that. That's the most expensive
ever.
That's it. That's my limit. I'll not do that again. I just got paid on tour. It was like, I went to the store. It was like a professional store.
Yeah.
They had the guy kind of sold me. Oh, he's going to be the best sound headphones you can ever have. They're made out of, you know, special kind of wood and just the cable is really good, blah, blah, blah. So I end up spending the money on it. And I got Rammstein, really cool Rammstein.
Oh, nice.
That's made by Beyer Dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also got stuff that I stole from airlines, you know, like flying. I don't judge. It can be a $5 piece of shit or a $2,000. I just want to have all of them. It's all part of the collection.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, and some of those, if you get to go in business class anywhere, some of those noise canceling ones aren't too bad.
I stole it from business class, but I was in coach. That makes it even better.
It does.
I didn't get caught.
No, that's good. Mate, congrats on this new album. This is what we've got to talk about. This new album from this great project. And I know ages ago you were talking about a project that you were doing with your son, but you didn't really give too much away about it. And when it's hit now, Go Ahead and Die, it's so good. And I actually read a little story about how you came up with the band name. Can you elaborate on that for the listeners?
So yeah, you know, like having this project with my son is an old dream of mine because Igor, the one I did it with, he was inside his mother's belly during Nail Bomb. In the video, Gloria is actually, she's huge. She's got this big belly. And so Igor was born out of Nail Bomb sounds, live wow. sounds. You know, he was like, there was like echoes of that sound going through her belly, going right through him. So the chances of him becoming a lawyer or engineer was very small. Eventually he became a metalhead and a really good musician. And, you know, it was like an old dream of mine to make a record with him. We started messing around pretty much because of COVID. I had all this free time. He had all this free time. Let's make a record, man. Let's just do it. And we didn't really have an agenda. We didn't even knew we were making a record first, which is really similar to the beginning of Nail Bomb, when I was writing songs with Alex without knowing that was going to go on a record. And then later on, you know, Gloria got a contract deal with Nuclear Blast and then became official. Now the name, I was going through my iPad trying to find out how you say fuck you in Japanese and all these other languages like you know, Dutch and German and French, and when it came to Japanese, the translation said they don't say fuck you, they say go ahead and die. And I mentioned that to my son, and I said the name in Japanese, like, I don't remember the name now. And he goes, no, that sounds like a great name, go ahead and die, just like that, as plain and as raw unapologetic as it can be. And it took me a little bit to get used to. But now I kind of like, you know, you got the acronyms, the GAAD, which is like ACDC, you know. I love the reaction you get when you tell people, especially if it's a normal person, a straight person. What's the name of your new band? Go ahead and die. You know, it's an instant crazy cool reaction that you get. Yeah. And I think when a name does that, it's good. You know, you got to get some kind of reaction out of a name. And I think it's, you know, it refers to a lot of people being just left out by politicians and society in general, left out to fend for ourselves. They don't care if you live or die. Just go ahead and die. We don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's a really punk name. I think it comes from you know, old school punk rock. But I'm glad that Igor found that name. I was more into the Japanese translation of it. You know, like my brain was going into a different language, and he picked up on the translation. The translation for him was like the coolest sounding thing that we can find. But yeah, I'm little by little it grew on me, and now I love the name now. It's great. It's really especially with the logo that Jeff from Carcass, you know, created. And when you have all those elements, the cover, the you know, black and white cartoonish punk rock cover, it all blends together perfectly.
I think so. And it's like you said, as soon as you say the name, it automatically makes you think of, well, this is not going to be a pop album. And it is a really old school kind of vibe about it, recorded and played old school. It's very raw. It's very lo-fi. It's very honest. And did I read that there wasn't like multiple takes? It was just, let's just thrash it out and play it.
Yeah, we're really big on the imperfections. And I think we spend more time on that than we actually did into trying to play the songs right. Because it was actually, let's play them a little fucked up on purpose.
Yeah.
Because the records that we grew up listening to that we love, you know, I'm talking about Early Destruction, Creator, Celtic Frost, Discharge. They're far from perfect. They are full of imperfections and mistakes. And that's the beauty of it. And that's what we wanted to mirror, was that beauty, especially in a metal world that is becoming so digital and perfect. And like sometimes you hear a song and you almost go like, where's the fun of this song? Because it's just so compressed and huge sounding and digitalized. And you know that it's being processed to Pro Tools. They Pro Tool the fuck out of the song. You know, so a lot of times the guys don't even sing. It's just like, you know, out of tune. Yeah. And we're like, none of that. No click tracks. No Pro Tools. The little Pro Tools involvement, the best. Let's just play old school metal like a garage. This has got to feel like a dirty raw garage. And you went there with the mic and record it. And, you know, of course, it was done in a studio. So it sounds a little better than that. But it still carries that raw caveman mentality of those records. And I think that's the nostalgic part of Go Ahead and Die that I love.
Oh yeah.
It's the imperfections, man. And I tell you, it's hard. Those are as hard as trying to create a perfect song. People don't understand, but those are really, you know, even in when we were doing drums, I remember a couple of times telling the drummer, don't play so tight. Try to fuck it up a little bit. Like, don't follow me too tight on my rib.
Yeah, just go loose, yeah.
Yeah, go like you're going off the trails, but you're trying to stay on the trails, but you're falling off the trails, and you're desperate hanging on to dear life. That's gotta be the feeling of the record. I think we achieved that in a couple parts of the record, which I really love.
Well, Prophet's Prey definitely has that old school vibe about it. Simple riffs, but it's aggressive. And I love how both you and Igor are sharing vocals on a lot of tracks. It's got that to and fro, almost like a call and response between you and Igor when you're doing the vocals as well, which is so cool. And it just, you're on the same page. Like, I can just see it now. You two just barking into the mics, giving it everything. And it's just, if you ever play this on tour, the pit is going to be out of control.
Yeah, that's the goal. You know, I mean, honestly, man, like when we wrote these things, it was the height of the summer in Arizona. And I'm talking about a desolate cabin in the middle of the desert, Evil Dead style, with me and Igor pouring sweat, red. We look like, you know, we look like bright red apples and just dripping sweat, you know, and in this little room for hours. I remember I didn't even want to reuse a headphone, microphone, so I end up singing on a pair of headphones because you can do that.
Yeah,
that's an old trick I learned. You just grab one side of the headphone and you sing on it. It sounds distorted and fucked up. So I used that for my mic, and we made a demo like with 10 songs. I think we're planning to put the demo out sometime next year, hopefully.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, like a cassette, like a real proper demo cassette with a cover and everything. But it was the spirit of that room, the hot, nasty room that made us angry because it was hot. We got even angrier because of the temperature. And then all cool off. By the time we were done, we went into the house and watched like old school black and white Universal movies, which was great. You know, like I love that Igor had a big collection of those movies that his mother gave it to him. You know, she's a big fanatic of B-movies. And that was like perfect, man. It was such a cool ritual, like listen to music, recording stuff, and then watching movies in the nighttime.
Nice.
And we just did that for like 2 months, and it was just that experience, the bonding with my son, with that to me, that was even more fun than the studio. The studio was cool. It's fun because you see the product being made, but to me, the making of the record was where the real fun was. It, you know, creating this thing out of thin air and just coming up with riffs and screaming, like you said, on Prophet Spray, like trading vocals with him. Great stuff. And he's such a, you know, he really reminded me of a young Max. You know, like my Beneath the Remains era when I was, you know, a skinny little punk. You know, like he's just that hungry for music, for knowledge, for riffs, for everything. You know, it's so cool to see that in him, and sharing those things with him in the record was really, really to me super gratifying, like a dream come true for a father too. And it's cool because I don't think there's a lot of father and son projects out there. I mean, I know that, you know, Eddie and his father had a thing going with Van Halen.
Well, of course, yeah.
But not really, not much, you know, like, nice. I don't know of another one. So it's kind of it was kind of a cool original kind of thing that we started. And hopefully more dads and sons will make records out there. It would be kind of cool.
It's interesting that you bring up Beneath the Remains, because a few of the songs kind of remind me of that era in the rawness in it, like Punisher, Flat to the Boards, grindcore, thrash, speed metal stuff, but then breaks into this reflective part with the news stories. The song takes on a different place. I really, one of my favorites on the album. Can you tell me more about Punisher?
Yeah, so Punisher is definitely from that era. Even, I mean, the first two riffs are told out of that era, of like mixing death thrash. And that's something that we were... of course, we knew about it, and we're really happy to explore that. To me, it was very nostalgic to go back to some of those kind of riffs, but with some other things on top of it that they are a bit different. Like some of the passages and some of the tempo changes and stuff made it a lot of fun. The blast beats that Zach attitude also made a lot more brutal and just awesome, like for the ear, just sounds great. I think that was the nickname on the demo that we end up not changing. It sounded too good, let's just leave it as Punisher. it was the actual nickname, because we had a lot of nicknames, like Truckload was called Pizza Rat. we had silly names like that. Some of the other stuff was like sewer fight.
Yeah.
That became Slaughterline. But Punisher was just, we just like Punisher. We just kept it Punisher.
Nice.
I love that track, man. I think that's cool. Like, it's right in the middle of the record. And, you know, of course we didn't, it's not one of the ones that we use for a single or anything, but I think it's great to have that in the middle of the record. It's just like, it makes a cool stand on the album. Together, you know, together with all the other stuff, like, you know, you got El Cuco, it's a bit more Napalm Death. And then Go Ahead and Die, which got more Bolt Thrower kind of influences.
Worthless, this record was magnificent as well. You know, listen to the start of that, and it is just so nostalgic and beautiful, man. I really dig that.
Yeah, that's like a total discharge, extreme noise, terror, worship. Like, this is how they would have done it. When they were in the studio, we were just recreating that magic, like, I guess it's our interpretation of that time, you know, which I think that's kind of like the fascinating thing about this record, that it's how we see those bands influencing us. Like, even some of the death metal Celtic Frost riffs is our own interpretation of Celtic Frost, which might be different from the actual Celtic Frost.
Yeah.
And it might be different from the actual Discharge, but it's our take on that. And it goes to another degree because it's my take on it as a 52-year-old man, and it's my son's take as a 25-year-old person, kid, you know? Mm. So you have all these layers of different takes on the stuff, and I think that's what makes it interesting. But it's definitely Riff City, you know, and I love the kind of like mentality, you know, that from the beginning we're gonna have this, you know, this caveman death metal, thrash metal mentality. We're not worried about making this, it doesn't need to be clean, doesn't need to be beautiful, it just needs to be raw and aggressive and dirty and angry, and we just went with that, you know. That's like all those ingredients, that's good enough for me. They were good enough for those bands in the 80s, they'll be good enough for us. Yeah. So it's kind of like that mentality, you know.
Yeah. In the Slaughterline, which the lyrics are super intense for that, so I wanted to know about the lyrics on this album, because they are, as you mentioned earlier, the whole thing is unapologetic, and it's in your face. So how did the lyric writing take place on this album? Was it a collaboration between you and Igor?
Yeah, and it was more Igor's territory. He's an author by nature. He writes books, and, you know, he's on his third novel now, which is like Stephen King kind of movies. He loves words.
Right.
He loves the whole universe. Where I hate it. I hate writing lyrics. I never liked it. It's a thing that I do. It's out of necessity. It's kind of like, you know, like breathing, you know, or eating. It's like you have to do it or you die. But I don't like it. My thing is riffs. So my real full enjoyment on the record was doing the riffs. But I also learned a lot working with Igor, with trying to find the passion in the words, and he works really good with that, man. It was really cool to, like, he found like really cool, it's almost like poetry a little bit what he was doing with some of the words, and with a really hard visuals, you know. I like in lines like Toxic Freedom, you know, shut up and do as you're told. That's a cop saying that to you, you know.
Yeah, right.
It's like, take it from reality situation. And also I love on Truck Love Full of Bodies, when it goes burn them, no hearses, you know. It's about the bodies being burned. You don't even need to bury it. There's no need for a hearse. You're just gonna burn the bodies. That's just, and then fear being your only friend when you're in a hospital and you're deathbed, that your friends are not allowed, your family are not allowed. It's only you, and you got to make friends with your fear. And I was like, that's pretty heavy for a 25-year-old kid to think of those things, you know, like, oh my God, this is crazy. But he did really good, man. He really impressed me. And he was a bit of a kind of a cheese police kind of, you know, on me because I was using a lot of the same words that I used before. And he's like, nope, nope, you cannot use that, Max. You know, you already used that in third of your, in 5 or 6 different of your old records. You know, if I say remains, nope, no remains. We're not doing, you're not saying remains again. You know, you're not saying chaos again. You know, you've done that. You've done plenty of that.
Yeah.
It was cool working with him with that, you know, that made me appreciate also trying to come up with different words and different vibes. But I like the direction that the record took. It's kind of cool. Some of the things that we did, like El Cuco was cool because it's like a boogeyman in South American folklore, but we translated it into some kind of child predator, you know, that goes ahead and lures, you know, little young girls for pedophilia. You know, it's like we turn this boogeyman into something really, really way more evil and nasty. And that's, I think that's kind of like cool and a little bizarre to do stuff like that. Roadkill also, which is like the topic of homeless people. I don't think that's been really done much in metal.
No, I don't think so.
And I thought it was a cool topic. It's a heavy topic, you know. It's hard. It's a hard life on the road and on the street, and you feel like you have failed. That's what those are my lyrics, you know. In desperation, we have failed. Degradation, dehumanized, all those things, you know, that we as a society we judge them because they're on the street, but we don't see the whole picture, how they got there, you know.
Yeah.
So it was intense. It was an intense song to make, and with the riff, I really like the opening riff. It's one of those riffs that stays in your head after you're done with the record. I like that we picked that track to close the record because I think that riff stays with you after you're done with the record. That stays in your head for a couple of hours. All in all, feels like cool, like protest type lyrics, pissed off. And it's not really about a certain political party. It's more about the human being, you know.
It's about society, it seems. It's a real,
right,
real reflection on what's going on in the world, and a really brutally honest way of saying it in all these songs.
We've
tolerated such shit for so long, the way we've treated people for so long, things need to change. I think that's the underlying message that I got out of this whole album was, Jesus, what are we doing? Why are we disenfranchising the ones that are needing us the most to help them?
Yeah, and I think we try to do that in a way that it's not preachy. Like we're not in some big pedestal telling people this is how you should be or not be. But when you read about it and you watch, you know, in the news that kids are being locked in cages in the border, and if you read that and you don't react to that, there's something wrong with you, man. What is wrong with you? That's a human. It's a human being in a cage in 2020, 2021. How does that not piss you off? You know, so we were just like shining a light on the subjects and hopefully would open a discussion, you know, with people, which I think is the coolest thing that metal can do throughout my whole career, are those kind of topics. I think, you know, in Chaos AD, songs like Territory and Refuse and Resist made a lot of people talk about the issues or manifest about police riots. And in Brazil, we show a lot of different sides of Brazilian society to the world that people didn't know about it. And so many people told me that they learned that through those records. And that's cool. You know, I like that you can make people think for yourself, you know. I was like, question everything, question authority, question society, question religion, question spirituality. Don't just follow, but, you know, think for yourself, find out things for yourself, be your own person type thing. But in this record, I haven't, you know, definitely felt great playing some heavy riffs and screaming all those things out. It's really like a therapy. It felt fucking great. It just felt good.
Yeah, man. Well, mate, I don't want to hold up. You know, you've got a lot to do, and I always love talking to you, man. It's always so much fun, and I learn a lot. And it sounds like you've learned a lot on this album from your own son, which is just an amazing memory to have. As you said, the bonding is probably the most important thing out of all of this. So credit to both of you. And also to Zach. He was an absolute animal on the drums on this. And it's such a great coming together of three forces that have created a beautiful album.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And you're totally right. It's like I learned, you know, it's so cool to me as a dad and a metalhead and a musician to still be learning at 52 and actually learning from your son. You know, it's like it was totally eye-opening and inspirational. And I just love the fact that I jumped from one extreme to the other, because the Killer Be Kill record just came out.
Yeah.
And everybody was talking about that. And people, you know, so I went from one opposite extreme to the other. Like, all right, I want to touch on something totally different now. Yeah. We're going raw. We're going as raw as you can get, back to my, extreme metal roots. And it was a lot of fun, man. And I hope people dig the record and have a lot of fun with it, the same amount of fun that we had making it, which was a blast.
Yeah, well, I'll be spinning it, mate. I'll be getting all the tracks on air. I just want everyone to know how great it is. So well done, man. And it's always awesome.
What's your favorite song, if you don't mind me asking?
Mine's, one of my favorites is Punisher and Prophets. Punisher, okay. And Prophets Pray, definitely.
Cool. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, those are two of my favorites too.
Oh, nice. Yeah. They just for me, they really sum up what the album is all about. And like I said, worth less than piss because of the way that it starts. It's so raw and honest. I think that's the other thing with this album. And I don't want to get into another thing because we're running out of time. It's so honest, this album, and I think that's what I really love about it as well. Not just from the lyrical standpoint, but by the way it's been recorded and produced, and it's just, it's music for the love of music, and that's what I love about it the most.
Yeah, and there's definitely, there's so much true in what you just said, and because, like, nobody knew we were there. We were, like, in this Evil Dead cabin in the desert, and the label didn't know we were there, and you know, only like, my wife and Igor's wife knew that we were there making this record. So, like, completely away from civilization and society, writing about society, which is cool. But I think, like, I definitely give credit to, so much credit for Igor, what he did on the record, for the instruments that he played, the vocals, the lyrics, Zach on the drums, and also Charles from recording point of view, Charles Elliott from Abysmal Dawn, and of course Arthur on the mix. You know, he's a magician on the mix, make that shit sound like it was created in 1987.
Yeah.
which was brilliant, amazing job he did on that. And I'm really thrilled with it, and hopefully people will like it. Hopefully we can tour with it next year, Australia.
That would be awesome. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Like, let's get some serious mosh pits on this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right, mate. Well, we better get going because I'm out of time, but always great to talk to you, mate. You take care of yourself, and give my love to Igor. I think he's done an astounding job on this one, and we'll talk again soon.
I will, man. Take care.